Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Talent Talks. I'm Rob Adams. In this episode, we're excited to be joined by Andrea Rodriguez, Group Vice President, Revenue and Operations at Talento, and Brooke Stewart, Vice President of Growth at Talento. This podcast episode focuses on the importance of diversity, equity, and inclusion within the staffing, recruiting, executive search, and human capital consulting industry. We'll explore personal experiences and contrasting work environments to showcase the impact of genuine DEI implementation on company culture, innovation, and growth. The conversation will also include unique challenges and opportunities present within the industry, offering actionable strategies for building diverse teams, empowering inclusive leadership, and ensuring equitable representation at all levels. Additionally, we will discuss some considerations surrounding DEI during mergers and acquisitions, guiding listeners on how to prioritize inclusivity throughout the entire M&A process for a successful and sustainable integration. I'm going to do something we don't normally do here on Talent Talks. They're going to introduce themselves, which I like. So I want to learn their backgrounds and what led both of you to become passionate about helping organizations build their best teams yet through recruiting, executive search, and human capital consulting. Whoever wants to go first, go for it.
Good afternoon, Rob. How are you?
I'm well, Andrea. How are you?
I am good. A quick intro on myself. Andrea Rodriguez, Group VP of Revenue and Operations. Really, my responsibility is to oversee our company's markets. That includes our customer experience, customer development, recruiting initiatives across the Americas, and also have a corporate responsibility for finance, controllership, HR, and marketing. Previously to my current role, I was the managing director of our Miami market, our flagship location where Talento really has spent the last 7 years, and overseeing our branding and communication initiatives.
Brooke, over to you.
Yes. Hi, Rob. Thank you so much. I'm Brooke Stewart, and I'm the VP of Growth here for Talento. I'm responsible for overseeing all of sales and recruiting for the organization and the best practices to drive growth for us. I've been in the staffing industry for a little over 15 years now. Most of my past has been focused around IT contract staffing. And I enjoy this business because I generally love seeing people grow and thrive in their careers. And I feel as a leader, you can really impact, you know, the opportunities that people have and the culture, both for individuals and the organization as a whole.
It's a great, great answer. Leadership is just, it's so important. I love that answer. Andrea, what are some of the unique challenges and opportunities for promoting DEI specifically within our industry?
Well, I think DEI programs for any organization and or industry is very difficult without connecting it to the why, how DEI programs are going to impact their employees, the business itself, who owns the initiatives, and the buy-in of leadership to really focus on consistently tracking, defining, and optimizing the why. And when you look at our industry, it adds another level of complexity because we are doing DEI initiatives on behalf of our clients, and a lot of the recruiting strategies that we are doing when we engage and partner with them. So when I look at some of the challenges, I think that training and communication, that is a really big piece. Just because the board, your executive team, is looking for DEI, if it gets pushed down without the communication and the training, it doesn't really align. 95% of HR leaders say that their companies have some type of DEI initiatives, compared to 35% of the employees knowing of any DEI initiatives for their organization. So you see the gap there. When we're working with hiring leaders and they don't know the why, really where we start is how we can help to achieve the greater success for their team versus adding more hurdles into the hiring process for them. DEI and recruiting strategies really are meant to build an unbiased slate of candidates to fuel positive change, growth, and bring competitive advantages to their business. Another challenge that we are seeing is the limited access to diverse talent. So proactively engaging with minority associations and colleges to build a community of talent, that's an ongoing task that it's not a one-time off for a specific search, but it's something that it's really part of your culture, your environment, especially in traditionally men-dominated industries and functions. So how can we identify complementary skills that can align to that from some other industries that maybe are thriving more in diversity, and connecting that to how they can help by consulting and educating some of the higher leaders that maybe have been very industry focused versus really looking at the entire pool of talent. And lastly, the lack of data. I think that especially in leadership, without data, it's really hard to justify, track, measure, and report. So looking at data to drive those recruiting initiatives tied to DEI, to look at benchmarks, track against them, and really connecting your DEI efforts to results, not just for your team, but the company via dashboards and reports.
Brooke, over to you. Could you elaborate on the company culture and how it differed from your experiences in more diverse settings?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, Andrea mentioned that this, in certain sectors, is a very male-dominated organization or industry, I should say. And I think that in our current culture, you know, we have a lot of diversity, and I think we have a lot of female leaders, which in my past, I feel that sometimes things were pushed down is this is the way that we've always done it. This is the way we're going to continue to do it, which doesn't drive innovation or even drive growth, right? You really have to be agile in today's world. Everything's moving so quickly. And I think in our current environment, we, again, have a lot of female leaders that are willing to get in, listen to new ideas, understand, okay, you know, what needs to change here to drive growth, to drive good culture? How do we make those changes, implement them, and move forward? And sometimes they don't always work, right? So not everything you try is going to work, but I think it's true what they say. We learn a lot more from even our failures than the successes. And we just continue to innovate, to change, to dive in in a hands-on approach and figure out, you know, how can we truly impact change and drive a great culture.
Andrea, I'll switch back over to you. I've heard you mention wanting to empower the true intent of DEI, focusing on the idea of a diverse culture as a catalyst for growth and improvement. Can you elaborate on this perspective?
Yes. Before, let me give you a little bit of context. So originally from Peru, I grew up in the Midwest. At that time, you know, 15, 20 years ago, there wasn't much diversification in culture. So I think to me, that's been one of the passions that I brought into Talento and the organization, the way that we built our leadership. And we really want to carry that out to our customers, our partners. DEI, if you're not living it internally, it's really hard to present and advise and be an advocate to other people, partners. So first, we wanted to build that internally. We have very diverse backgrounds, and it is not just gender, it's not just geography, but we look at very many different types of diversity to ensure that there is a voice to drive innovation and empower anybody in the organization. DEI is not, so being genuine, to me, is really the core. DEI is not a one-time fix. There's a misconception that achieving DEI is for, you know, one diversity hire. But I think that it's a lot more than that. And it is shifting the culture to really welcome diversity. And that is going to increase your retention. It's going to increase your engagement. And really, for our business is all about our people. And if not, if everybody doesn't feel like they have a sense of belonging and that they are empowered in their growth, it's hard for us to carry that out for anything that we do for our customers.
Brooke, what are some of the biggest misconceptions or challenges surrounding DEI implementation in your experience?
I think some of the biggest challenges is not always leadership doesn't always adopt the policies of the organization, right? And if you don't have every leader on your team really driving it through their business unit, it can be really challenging because your team, the rest of your organization isn't on the same page. I think a lot of times there's a misconception that HR is responsible for DEI and that they should be driving it through the culture. But the truth is, it's really your leaders and your managers who are hiring these individuals, right? And they're really developing job descriptions a lot of times, helping, you know, and doing the interview process, et cetera. So if you're not educating them, training them, getting the buy-in, you're not going to end up with the diverse culture that you set out to have. I think HR can certainly help drive the business from a perspective of creating job descriptions that are inclusive, posting on job boards that are diverse. You know, Andrea mentioned earlier, partnering with different organizations, minority organizations that can help drive those different pools of talent and get your jobs in front of those people. But I think it's a collective effort throughout the organization.
Brooke, you've highlighted the benefits of working in a female-led organization. How has this leadership style influenced the company culture and fostered inclusion?
I really think probably the biggest thing is, again, that hands-on approach, you know, not asking our people to do anything that we wouldn't be willing to do as leaders and as employees of the organization, and understanding the inner workings of the day-to-day workflow and making sure that it's realistic. And again, not being above kind of getting in there and doing what needs to be done to get through the full work cycle.
I'm going to throw this open to both Brooke and Andrea. I know that meritocracy is a key value at Talento. How can organizations ensure that opportunities and advancements are based on merit while still fostering a diverse and inclusive environment?
So it is such an important word for us. And the reason being is anybody can see success in a short or long period of time here with us because we are really focusing on the skill set, the aptitude, the learning agility, and what they give in. So any input. And it doesn't matter pedigree from in either education or geography, gender, but we're really looking at true data of how they're excelling and putting them in the right role. I think that one of the things that we do a lot, and it is fostering that an environment of advancement, is that we're always pulling people to the next role, even if they're not ready. And we do it in a way that they are empowered to make decisions and make mistakes. And that is how we're continuously elevating the skills and the opportunity for them to really make an impact. And that's really been a core of how we've really looked at meritocracy.
Brooke, any thoughts you want to add?
Yeah, I mean, I would 100% agree with Andrea. I think it's really understanding the business, understanding the business activities, understanding the needs of our employees and the things that they're doing day in and day out, and setting them up for success, making sure that they're set up for success and following through with that so that everybody has the same opportunities.
All right, Brooke, I'll stay with you on this one and then Andrea can jump in. During M&A transactions and transitions, cultural integration and employee retention are key concerns. How can organizations prioritize DEI throughout this process?
I think first and foremost, when you're going through an integration, just like any piece of the business, you need to really understand what are their DEI initiatives today and how do those integrate with the DEI initiatives that we already have in our organization, and kind of meeting them where they're at, right? And going forward from there. Because if your roadmaps are way off, and maybe they don't have any, some smaller organizations might not have any in place. And so, again, just really meeting them where they're at and creating a roadmap from there that can fold into our current initiatives.
Andrea?
This is probably my favorite part M&A integrations. That's really where I play the biggest role. When I'm looking at due diligence and integration, the people bucket, it is such an important piece, not just from a DI standpoint, but just people. And like most industries, and I think I said it earlier, our people are our company. So when combining two organizations from opposite geographies, demographics, whatever it may be, there are many challenges that we have to be incredibly sensitive around. So really started by mapping the people from both teams, blinded. There's no need to look at names, to look at a picture, to look at where they sit, but really focus on the tenure that they've had in the organization, the role that they play, what are some of their skills? As you have those two mapping from both organizations, how do they map to each other? So we can really go and say a director here is a director there based on the important pieces, know who they are. From that, we really look at a compensation analysis, because we never want to get into a place that one group has more advantage than others. That is going to really create culture issues. So when we're looking at retention and culture, having both groups have the same advantage by doing a lot of the research and the mapping before is important. And then looking at the roles and responsibilities and compensations as those are defined is diving into the process. DEI, no DEI, when you're looking at operational processes from both companies, there shouldn't be a concept that one is greater than the other one. I think that there are things to learn from both worlds, both communities, both ethnicities, if you want to, for lack of a better word, the company that's acquiring, the company that's being acquired, and going into this in a mindset that not one is better than the other one, but let's learn from each other and put together a process that really aligns both groups so they can come together as one, and that is going to show in a better cultural integration, engagement, and a more, I guess, positive and successful integration.
It's such an important topic, and both of you are giving just wonderful answers, and I'm grateful for that. Andrea, I will stay with you. What advice would you give to individuals who are passionate about DEI and want to promote it within their own workplaces or communities? And then we'll shift back to Brooke for an answer as well.
Yeah, I think that before jumping into specific DEI policies, it's important for them to first define what DEI means in your organization, and make sure that it's being focused on the benefit of all of the community. So it's not more beneficial to one group than the others, because that's when you start seeing some challenges. So really going into diversity, any trait that makes people unique. Now that we want to focus on women equality, or we want to focus on something else, but any trait. Looking at what equity means, which is, you know, the fair treatment of everybody in the organization from the top down, and then inclusion, providing a culture and environment that everybody feels welcome. So as those things are very well defined and communicated to the entire organization, then you can really go and pick one specific community that's underrepresented to start, you know, with a little piece of the pie. And before going into an external approach to find diversity by bringing new people in, is looking at what are some of the other departments. So let's say that, you know, your HR team is misrepresented because it's all female, so it's missing some male leadership. What are some of the other departments within the organization that have potential matching skill sets, and try to bring some people from the internal, because as you provide your internal team first the opportunity to have exposure to other pieces of the company, they are going to be more bought in to drive those programs on your behalf, and that's how your voice can be elevated.
Brooke, how about you?
Yeah, I think it's really understanding, you know, what are the current DEI goals in your organization, and how are we performing against those goals today? And then doing research around, you know, what are some companies that are really doing it well, you know, and what are those companies doing? What policies are they putting in place? How are they implementing it? really doing the research and finding out what's working for other organizations, and then learn how to start implementing some of those practices in your own organizations. And then again, the ongoing training, I think we've said it a few times here, having that education and training to your population is huge in implementing any DEI goals that you might have.
No, it's worth repeating for sure. Brooke, what are some practical steps listeners can take to learn more about DEI and contribute to building more inclusive environments?
Again, I think that the education is key. So, you know, getting out there, doing your research, getting in some of those communities, getting in front of different organizations that support different communities, really understanding what are their challenges and what things need to be done to overcome some of those challenges, you know, from the roots, really. Different minority groups and different genders have obviously different issues that they have to overcome based on what's happened in the past. So understanding those and aligning yourself with different organizations that can educate you in order to really understand, where do I go from here?
Andrea, your thoughts.
There is so much material online from consulting firms, white papers, and research showing how DEI can impact profitability and performance of businesses. And I think that's great. But when we go a layer deeper, I think that seeking a leader that has gone through a transformation so you can learn from the true experience outside of research and paper. So find a mentor, find somebody that is leading one of, you know, a DEI transformation that you can see the good, the bad, best practices. And then starting by promoting DEI internally versus going externally to do it for other customers or be a mentor. Because if you can't do it for your internal team, where you can control a lot more in policies, in organizational structure and initiatives, then it's really hard to do it externally. So live it internally, live it within you and your organization before advocating to others.
Before we wrap up, any final thoughts, Andrea? I'll let you go first. Any final thoughts to begin kind of putting a ribbon on this conversation?
Yeah, I think that we've talked macro and micro and how DEI can help organizations run better, have better culture, increase engagement. But how does executive search partners and recruiting organizations impact a lot of this? Because you're seeing that this is one of the groups that is closely tied to it. So don't look at DEI as a hurdle in your recruitment strategy. Look at it as an enhancement to your standard practices to provide your customers, your hiring leaders, with the tools to really elevate their human capital, increase their performance and engagement, because this is going to lead them to profit growth and customer happiness, which is, at the end, it is the core of what we do.
Brooke, a final thought from you.
Yeah, I would just encourage everybody to really gain an understanding of how this will impact you as an individual, how will it impact your peers, how will it impact your organization, and then, you know, be a champion.
Be motivated to help drive that education and help your peers understand how it will impact your business in a positive way and their growth in addition to that.
Be a champion. I picked up on that. That's an important thing. These really have been wonderful answers. And again, I stress what an important topic this is. I'm so grateful to both of you for your time today.
It was a pleasure. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you, Rob.
Andrea and Brooke, thank you both again for joining the show today, and I hope that this podcast provides our listeners with a strong understanding of the importance of diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI, within the staffing, recruiting, executive search, and human capital consulting industry. I wish you and your firm continued success and hope to host you on future podcasts and conferences. That's all the time we have today. Alongside Andrea Rodriguez and Brooke Stewart of Talento, I'm Rob Adams, and this has been Talent Talks.